When you hear the word fundraising, what do you immediately, what is some maybe thing that comes to your mind?
Car wash,
okay.
School magazine sales.
Garage sale. Yeah, those are all things. Candle sales, you know, at least in our area. And often, you know, you get this unpleasant just of it comes to, like, the definition of fundraising can be in our minds as ministers is a very unpleasant activity to support spiritual things, when it really shouldn't be that way. But that's a mindset that we have to overcome. And I had that at the very beginning, like, I just can't do this, it's too hard. And so if anyone can do it, I'm here to tell you that if I can do it by the grace of God, everyone can be empowered to do amazing things. And so I thought I would just begin a little bit to tell you for a few minutes my story. So I was raised in Indiana, in the hills of Indiana. In fact, my story from barn to stage, I just wrote my book, and it's up on the table up there if anybody wants to give a donation that goes to Kavod. And that has a lot of detail that I'm just going to share briefly just a little bit. But I was raised on this huge pig farm, very conservative Mennonite church that my dad was a pastor of, with about 1,000 pigs. And I wasn't allowed to dance or do the arts, which is, you know, when God has something inside of you, even as a little Mennonite girl, you can't get away from it. So I would dance to the pigs and sing to the pigs, and at 10 years old, and feed the pigs and cry with them and tell them that I probably will never get married because I'm out in the hills of nowhere. And then, you know, fast forward, the Lord, when I was in high school, I begged my parents in eighth grade, if I could just be in a show. Like, I just wanted to be in a show so bad. Now, my dad was very, very strict, and that was part of my issue growing up, which is in my book. It was just a strict, strict German Mennonite that did not understand this creative little girl who's thought outside the box. And I really went through a lot of damage from that, but God has done an amazing work in my life and went through a lot with him. But he finally, I think he got so tired of me begging that he allowed me to be in a show. And that's where my journey began of changing my life and my identity of who I really was. Being on stage in a secular high school, I found out really how God had gifted me. And so after high school, went to Bible college, Rosedale. Dave and I had met, and fast forward, we got married a few years later. And moved to New Jersey and became involved in ministry. And I directed tons and tons of shows there through church. We were there for 17 years. And Dave was youth pastor, and we worked together. And then we moved over here and were involved in Lancaster, Pennsylvania area. And also, you know, like, again, some, a lot of those details and some of the pain and the things that we went through with church planning and so forth is in my book. But I was at the end of myself at this one point, and I said, I am never going to do the arts again. I was done with it. This was back in 2003. It's December of 03. And I was just saying, Lord, I cannot do this anymore. It seemed like every pastor that we worked with, it was only two. Just wanted it to be bigger and wanted it to be different, or just had, I was going to be like sight and sound, and I had no intention of being like that. I just wanted to disciple kids and love on kids and get people saved. And so I said, I'm done with the arts. And I was just crying out to God. And I said, I'm just going to go be the best PTA person. You know, that's a volunteer mom at my kid's school. We have three children. And I mean, at that point, we had been involved in every kind of ministry for years, on all the two churches. I say every, but it was two churches. It seems like 20, but it was two. And I was sitting in church one Sunday morning, just crying out to God. And we had a guest minister come in that was actually from South Africa, and I knew him. But he didn't have any idea what I was going through, because I had journaled that I'm done. I'm going to really, I'm done, Lord. I've just laid it all on the altar. And he said, gets up, opens up his Bible like he's going to start to preach. And he looked at me and he said, Connie, I have a word for you this morning. He said, the Lord doesn't really care how you feel about the arts. I was like, wow, he's read my journal. And he said, but you have surrendered something to the point, and we have it recorded, but you have surrendered to the Lord. You have laid it all down. And he said, now it's time for you to pick up the mantle and to start a school of arts, first with dance and then with music and then with theater. And it will be known throughout the world for its excellence. And so get ready and get prepared, because God's ready to do a great work. And all right, turn to your Bibles now. And that was the only prophetic word he gave, and he just went on like nothing happened, and I was on the floor. I was a mess. And so by January, I mean, you know, sometimes you get a prophetic word and it's now. It's like, it's for now, or it can take 15 years for it to mature. And I knew this was God at that moment. I knew it was him. And so by January, we had the church got up and they heard the word, and elders did a whole auction. We figured out it would be about $10,000 to start a school on the church property back in the boondocks on the Welsh Mountain, if some of you know. And it was in a little barn, about 800 square feet, maybe not about this big, with a pole in the middle. Anyway, so I will fast forward that in just a second. But we started that in August of 2004. That's been 21 years ago. And God has just taken that little seed, that word, and has grown, and we have grown to, I mean, we now have two locations, three buildings, just hit 1,400 enrollments, and over 150 classes a week that we offer. And so it has been a journey. And one thing that the Lord didn't tell me, when I first had the word, was that, because I set it up nonprofit, we had a really difficult experience in a church setting, and I didn't want to take it for myself. So I set it up nonprofit, 501c3 with a board, and we had like five different layers of accountability, I think, and so. But I did not know what I was doing. You know, I just was obeying God and loved people and loved kids. And so from that point then, we struggled for the first 6 or 7, 8 years, just like we started in that little barn, had a porta potty outside because we couldn't get a toilet inside. You can imagine the winter time when you're, you know, the girls are going to the bathroom or whatever, and you're going to the porta potty with your dance clothes on. It was cold, but we just did what it took. We started off with 20 enrollments, and by the third year we had only 50. And the Lord said, if you would have enough faith to move into town, I will double your enrollment. The big town of New Holland, if some of you know our area. and we did. And the Lord tripled it, actually, to like 150 that first year. But it became very, very difficult in a few years from there, because I didn't know I had to raise funds. My fees were so low. I was ministering to kids. God was working. We were building this arts program all to give glory to the Lord, to create with purpose. And so the meat of what I'm getting at is finally the Lord said, you need to raise funds, and you need to treat this ministry like a business in order for it to grow. And that really hit a chord. I just know this is not a business. This is a ministry. But I had to change my mind and some mindsets. And so as I began to just, I was sick to my stomach. How can I, it's not me. I can't go ask people for money. How can I do that? Now you guys might probably are much further along than what I am, but I just didn't think, how in the world could I ever do this? And so I felt like I really, a scripture that really is meaningful to me, and you guys all know it, and that is in Romans 12, 2 is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so I had to let go of my preconceived ideas of what it was to raise funds. You know, what, why, how can I do this? And really fundraising is proclaiming what we believe in such a way that we offer other people an opportunity to participate in our vision. So we are giving other people an opportunity to participate with us in our vision. And it's a partnership. And you I really feel like really finding out why I am doing this. Like, what is driving me? Because fundraising is not for the faint of heart. Just saying. And it is not easy, and it's something you have to be willing, you know, to get no's. And people, you know, I've never, ever, ever had anyone get angry with me for raising funds or for asking for money. But yet in our minds, we feel that it is. So the way that it progressed with me is when we moved into New Holland, we needed $18,000 in order to remodel this space that we found. And I didn't have any money at all. I had $50 in the bank, and the guy let us sign the lease. It was in the front of a car salesman lot, but it was a cute space. It was, you know, two studios. And I went up and down the street and wrote a grant and gave it out to businesses and said, hey, this is a new endeavor. And I put a big sign on the front of the building that said Kavod Academy. It was, at that time, it was Capital. We have changed the name, but it was Kavod, a Capital Academy, coming in August, and this was April, and I had no money to remodel or anything. And yeah, and so I asked different businesses, and finally in July, beginning of July, I said, Lord, you know, I said, God, you asked me to do this. This was a word that you gave me, so the egg is in your face. I got really upset. Lord, if you don't come through, but I know that I know. I was standing on that word. And there was a business that gave us a grant for exactly $18,000. And we had 6 weeks left to remodel, get all the permits, get everything all done. And we got the final permit the day before. So that was my first experience of $18,000. And then the building that we are in now, this would be the third building. We have two buildings. The first building, We had outgrown this. There's a lot more to that, but we outgrew the space within about 6 years of where we were at. And that building was $250,000 to remodel. And so, right? Am I right? Yeah, Dave was the general contractor. And so we just went to the Lord. And the landlord, which never, ever happens at a commercial property, gave us $100,000. To remodel, and then I raised the rest. And then the second building, which is right in the same, it's like a plaza where it's, you know, like you have a shopping mall that's in, and that's where we're at now. And then the second building, we outgrew that within about 3 years, right? Or 2 years. Yeah. So we got the second building from the same landlord, and again, we went to the landlord. So somebody gave me a word of advice, all you have to do is ask. They can only say no. Just ask. They can only say no. It's okay. And so we asked again. I'm like, there is no way. And that was a big process, let me tell you. A lot of work. Yep, they came back. They actually gave us $115,000. And then there was another $100,000 that I raised. So then we started to outgrow that. And I'm like, and every time there was this surrender that I had to do before the Lord to do that, to be able to go and say, look, this is what we're doing, especially in Lancaster County, to really be able to promote dance. I mean, if you don't know Lancaster is like, you know, a lot of conservative people that you're not even allowed to be in the arts or to dance or do any of that. And they look at me, these Christians, like, what are you doing? Like, you're doing dance? It's going to glorify God? Like, that doesn't go together. So we were changing the culture as we were doing that. And then, so now my latest endeavor has been, which has been 10 years later, we've expanded to Mannheim. So to 2020, we have a building in Mannheim, which is like 30 minutes from New Holland. And the Lord just, that building was $400,000 to remodel. And the landlord there, which is a Christian, which is amazing. He's actually in the Dove Network, goes to Dove Church, and we had no idea. And he gave about $70,000 for that. And we outgrew that space. And so now we're in the middle of adding on. It was in the same shopping center. If you guys know Mannheim at all, it's across from the auto auction there on 72, right? And so behind Arby's, there was a space of 6,000 square feet that still hadn't been developed with gravel, whatever. I'm telling you to make a point here. And that became available and we outgrew and our landlord came to us and really wanted us to have that space. So the board, my board said, I think this is God. And here we are now in the midst of, I'm raising that reconstruction, that is $930,000. And so that has really stretched me, I have to be honest. And so between that and then I raise around $300,000 a year just to be able to, for our operating expenses in Kavat. So this year I'm almost at $1.5 million that I'm raising. I mean, only the Lord. And I now, what we do is we have gotten a loan for you business guys out there. Last time we got a loan for half of it, and that puts us through. So I'm not like literally freaking out and, you know, fasting for the rest of my life. And so, so we have a loan, we'll pay that off. So what I'm saying is that, you know, your dream, your ideas, and that's just a little bit for what God can do. You know, I think I'm up about 200,000 right now. So I want to get into the practical ways of fundraising, of really, really knowing how do I start? Because when I started, I was like, where do I go? Like I met with Annie Ann, you know, Annie Ann Soft Pretzels is Dave's cousin. And met with her. I just asked a lot of questions around and prayed. And I feel like I've learned a lot, but I'm still growing and learning, you know. And I've had different coaches. And so as I began to just seek this out and say, Lord, what is it? How? And I'm looking back on my journey of fundraising. And I know that there's going to come a time where I would love to hire a fundraising team. I think that's so amazing. I'm waiting for that day. The board had hired three different people over the last 10 years and fired each one of them because it didn't work. They all had this great resume and they just didn't have the vision. They didn't have the DNA. So here I am just being obedient and it has really built my character. So I think six practical ways of fundraising, I would say is the first one is to know your why. Why you have to be totally convinced by the Lord. Your faith that needs to be there that this is absolutely why you're doing it. Did he say it or did he not? That's what you have to ask yourself. And like Steve Buckland, if any of you know, he was here speaking. Backlund. He was here how many years ago? Three? 2 years ago. He says, just decide. You know, make a decision. Is this what God told you? And then run for it. You know, just do it. Will you just decide? He's one that I listen to a lot just by just giving hope, igniting your hope. And then the second one I would say is just pray and ask God for open doors. The verse that Dave and I like so well is Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know and you can't figure out. And I will surprise you. Dave always says, I will surprise you. And he says, you can't figure out. That's not in the Bible. Anyway, that's our interpretation. Because we have seen God do that so much. In fact, Merle, we've known Merle for years and years. And 30 years ago when Kavad first started, he had a word for me that God would, no matter what you needed, God will, it was in a church setting, that God will be there to provide whatever your needs are. 20 years ago. All right. Well, 20, 30, whatever. They run into each other when you're my age. But that's what he had shared. And that was the word. And so just taking those words and just, you know, Lord, this is what you said. And really being determined to just not jump the boat, you know, just.